Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Friday, October 9th, and I would like to wish a happy wedding anniversary to Brother Joseph and Sister Amber Gray, as tomorrow will be their wedding anniversary, and I hope it is a special time and day for them. Amen. Also, coming up on the Lord's Day, hope you're going to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. Well, I appreciate the goodness of God allowing us to be able to broadcast these messages. We're going to complete the message that we began on Wednesday. We're going to complete that today on the broadcast. But first, the Philip Moore family. They are missionaries from Wilkes County, North Carolina, heading to the state of Utah as missionary church planters. A good song a cappella singing, I Sing the Mighty Power of God. All right, I trust that was a blessing to you. Well, we're going to go ahead and get into the message. We've got a longer message today because we're completing the message for this week on today's broadcast. Actually began this on Wednesday, continued it yesterday. Today we will complete it. We're talking about the benefits of being pure in heart. You know what the benefit is? We get to see God. We can see God. We talked about the blinding effects of sin. We're going to deal with that just a little bit today, and a little bit about the example of the covetous man, and then a little bit more with the example of the adulterous man, how that sin blinds, the blinding effect of sin. And then we're going to look at the brilliant effect of sight and what the blessing it is that we can see God. Now, I hope you'll stay tuned and listen to the message as it was preached live in the auditorium of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky. If you got your Bible, Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, I want to look at this sixth beatitude and notice what a pure heart grants us. When you have your heart right, it gets your eyes right. It gets your vision right. Amen. I got a couple illustrations. The first one is the illustration of a covetous man. You'd be surprised how many people can't see past a dollar bill. They can't see past a little bit more money. That covetousness has blinded them. Amen. They think every time the preacher preaches, he preaches on tithing. By the way, very little said about tithing. Well, not only the illustration of a covetous man, I want to think about the illustration of an adulterous man. I dealt with that this morning. Felt like God really nudged me on it, to be honest with you. That adulterous man. And when I say a man, a man or a woman. But when a man becomes infatuated with what the Bible calls a strange woman, the idea of the strange woman means she don't belong to you. That's what it means. You know, stay away from her is what the insinuation there is, I believe, that he's saying there, the inference. But he says that when a man becomes infatuated with a strange woman, he's many times played for a fool, and he's blinded to everything else. And King Solomon tried to warn his son about it. If you want to look back there, Proverbs chapter 7, Proverbs 7, verse number 22. Here's what the Bible says. He's talking about this foolish young man. He goeth after her straightway. This is a man that's blinded by sin. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. You know what the Bible says about that woman? She's stronger than a lot of strong men. Look at chapter 6, verse 23. Chapter 6, verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of the strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyes. In other words, he said, don't start thinking about her. Don't start looking and thinking about her. That's what he's saying. Don't even think about it. You ever heard somebody say that? Amen. Look at verse 26. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. What does that mean? She will break him.
and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burnt? Can one go up on hot coals and his feet not be burnt? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. You know what that says? That says you're going to get a wound that won't never heal. Some of you know that's right. That adultery is a wound that never heals. It don't mean a man and a wife can't work it out. I believe they can by the grace of God. You say, but I don't believe I can forgive him, or I don't believe I can forgive her. You think of what all God's done to forgive people. Amen. Surely you can forgive like that. Amen. But yet, in spite of all that, there's still a wound there. David got forgiveness, but the Bible said the sword shall never depart from his house. Oh my. It's a shame when we mention the name David. I thought about it this morning. Brother Steve is teaching about Saul. Saul had such potential, threw it all away because he would not submit to God. And Samuel said, God's chosen him a man, and he's better than you are. But when we think about David, we don't think about David slaying his 10,000s while Saul just slain his thousands. But when we think of David, we don't necessarily think of the giant slayer. We don't necessarily think of the little kid with the sling in his hand that went and faced the lion and the bear and then took Goliath down and chopped his head off with his own sword. We think about David's sin. Why is that? Because that reproach shall not be wiped away. God talks about Bathsheba all the way from the time of David's sin till the time she's in the lineage of Christ, Matthew chapter number 1. When Bathsheba's name is mentioned even in the New Testament, her name's not mentioned. She's the wife, not of David. Not the wife of David. She's the wife of Uriah. And I said this before, and I believe it's right. You read in the Bible when Rahab the harlot got in the lineage of Christ, she's just Rahab. When Ruth the Moabitess got in the lineage of Christ, she's not Ruth the Moabitess, she's just Ruth. I'm talking about the New Testament. Because the cross makes a difference. But it don't change your marital situation. Don't change it. You think about this. I'm dealing with this thing about Solomon telling his sons. And I know Solomon had a lot of baggage too. You know he had a lot of baggage. I ain't got but one wife and a woman. We go somewhere, she packs everything but the kitchen sink. You think if you're going somewhere, you got 1,000 wives, praise God. Think of the U-Hauls. But Solomon had enough baggage in his past. But he had enough wisdom to know what it cost him. Right. And he's saying to his son Rehoboam and whoever else would listen, he's saying to them, son, beware. If you'll stay in the truth will keep you away from those kind of women. That's what he's saying. Amen. If you'll stay in the truth will keep you away from that danger. And I wonder how many young men, how many young ladies have heard their mother or their father say to them, you need to leave that boy or girl alone. You don't need to be hanging around with them. But they thought, I'll change him. I believe it's Brother Alfred Willis said it. Somebody I heard said, I believe it's Alfred Willis. He said, if you're weak enough to marry him, you're not strong enough to change him. Well, he's right there. This idea when, and I know mom and daddy don't know everything. I'm not trying to put mom and daddy's on a pedestal and say they do know everything, but I will say this. They've been down the road a time or two. They've seen things. They know more than you think they do. And they've got a little bit more discernment, especially if they're saved and they're in the house of God, a little bit more discernment. I'd say this, at the very least, it ought to cause you to step back and say, I'm going to pray about this matter. And I'm going to try to get some godly counsel on this situation. If mom and daddy said leave them alone, you better be careful. Well, they say love is blind. It may be or may not be, but I do know this, lust is blind. It's blinding. Makes a man go, he said, till he get to a piece of bread. It'll make a man go to the point that he's damaging his own soul. It'll make a man go to the point that he's getting a reproach that cannot be wiped away. Lust is blind, and its blinding power is the power of sin. I wonder how often, I'm trying to move along in my thoughts, my notes here. I wonder how often the preacher has stood different places. He's tried to preach the Word of God. He's tried to preach some convictions, and he's tried to point people in the right way. He's trying to steer them away from the wrong. And here's what they say. I just don't see it. I just don't see why he's got a rail on all that. I just don't see what's so bad about fill in the blank. I tell you why you don't see it. Sin is blinding. There's the blinding effect of sin. And especially when you love the sin, you're blinded to it. There's multitudes of people right around here in Madisonville, Kentucky. You know, we're living in a very religious area. You'd be surprised how many people, they intend to go to heaven when they die, but they just don't really see any need to go to church that often.
Right.
They don't understand why in the world would you want to go to church and, I mean, be there morning and night and stay in there past 12 o'clock on Sunday and you know, they got all these, they just can't see what's so important about it. They're blinded. They're blinded by sin. We're coming up on missions conference in about a month. There's a lot of people say, I just don't see why we're sending all our money, giving our money away. But people say, I don't understand why we're throwing our money away. We could have nicer facilities. We could do a lot more things if we didn't send all our money to some missionary. I'm telling you why we're doing it. Because we can see something that the world can't see. They're blind because they're covetous. They're blind because they're sin. They just don't see it. Some people don't see the need to read the Bible. They don't see the need to pray with their family. They don't see the need to live in a religious life. There are millions of people around the world that don't see a need for Christ at all. They figure, I get along fine without God. I got a good job. I got good health. I got a 401k, and they name all the different things they got. What do they need God for? You know why they can't see it? Because they're blinded by sin. In 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. Amen. Now, having preached on that, the blinding effect of sin, let me give you the second point, the last one. The brilliant effect of sight. Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Amen.
When God's grace has worked in a man's heart, person's heart, let me say that. When that person has yielded to the drawing by the Holy Ghost, they are enabled to see what worldly-minded people cannot see. Amen. I'll mention a few things they're able to see. First of all, able to see God in nature. We see God in nature. When the heart is right, we can see God in the flowers and the trees. We can hear God in the rustling of the leaves by the wind. We can feel God in the warmth of the sun. We hear God in the thunder and the rain. We see God in the sunrise and the sunset. We see God in the starry sky. Amen. We see God in a mountain stream. In short, we see God everywhere. They say it's true that the Russians beat us into space, that first man flight went around, circled the earth. Russian cosmonauts made the statement, they said, we went to heaven and we couldn't find God anywhere. First Americans went into space. They came back and they said, we went into the heavens and we saw God everywhere. Amen. Amen. They said when the cosmonauts said that we didn't see God anywhere, they said this little 12-year-old girl wrote a letter back to him, said, well, are you pure in heart? Because the Bible said pure in heart shall see God. Amen. We see God. How? We're cleansed by God's grace. We see God everywhere. We see God in nature. Number two, we see God in the Scriptures. Amen. You ever seen a verse? You said, where in the world did that come from? Well, you know where it come from. It come from God. But you're saying, I've read that 100 times, but right when I need it, right there it is. You know who did that? God did that. All those people that see the inaccuracies and the discrepancies in the Bible, they're not pure in heart. They don't see God in the Bible. They see errors. They see mistakes. But those that believe God, and those that have a pure heart, looking with pure eyes, they look at the Bible and they see the wonderful promises of God. Amen. They see the miracles of God. They know that God's still in the miracle working business. Amen. They see the amazing goodness of God. They see the tremendous answers that God has given to prayer in the past. Amen. And they see God in the scriptures. And they see the absolute truth in the instructions of God. In other words, they might say, well, I didn't grow up that way. Grandma didn't do it that way, but if God said it, that's right. They see God in the scriptures. Number three, they see God in providence. This goes, I thought about this when Miss Kristen was talking this morning. Those that are pure in heart, those that have had their heart purified by the good grace of God, they see God's hand of providence in their daily life. When the bread lasts longer than the sale date, they know that's God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. When they reach in the pocket and they find money in the pocket and they know there wasn't no money in that pocket before, they know that's God. When she made a statement, troubles come, situations happen, and you got something for sale, maybe you've had it for sale for a long time, and somebody makes a call just at the nick of time. They know that's God.
Amen.
They see God. That's one of the benefits. Amen. One of the benefits of being pure in heart. Amen. They see God when they think about how that God has blessed us with health. When they think about that God has blessed us with the ability to smile. When they think about that God has blessed us with a good family. God has blessed us with so many of His blessings. They see the hand of God. What a wonderful truth it is that God allows people to see Him who is invisible. And that is by faith, by the way. You know that's how Moses saw Him who is invisible. Turn with me to Psalm chapter number 63, and I'll close with these verses. These words of the psalmist. I believe this is how we ought to live and we ought to pray each day. Psalm 63. The header says, the Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness in Judah. Probably fleeing from Saul. Look what he said, verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. By the way, I read that. Look at the next verse. I'm thirsting. What for? To see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Praise God. He said, I've seen you in the past and I want to see you again. Amen. I'm thirsting and I'm longing to see you like I've seen you before. I'm telling you, if we'll get hungry after God and we'll get thirsty after God, it will produce a purity in our heart. And when that purity is produced, we shall see God. That's what he said. Amen. To see thy power and thy glory so as I've seen thee in the sanctuary because thy loving kindness is better than life my lips. Shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. I'm telling you, that ought to be our prayer. That ought to be our life. God, I'm longing for thee. I'm thirsting for thee. I want to see you like I've seen you before. I want to see you do it again. Amen. The brilliance of sight. The fact that believing God helps us see what the world can't see. You know what the world thinks? The world, most people in the world will agree with you that there's something bad wrong in our world. Amen. Now, it is interesting. They think it's really bad. Oh, it's really bad. For example, that we've got to this situation of sodomite lifestyle. But they didn't really see it so bad about the promiscuous that brought that lifestyle into being, by the way. And it's going to progress even further. You mark her down, it's already there, but it'll get even further that it's going to be with adults with children, and it's going to be humans with animals before this thing's over. Amen. Why? That's exactly right. It's sick, and it gets sicker and sicker and sicker as it goes. But I'm telling you, people see, they say, oh, it's bad. And even the sinner, many of them will agree with you that we're in a bad day, but they don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. They think it's only going to get worse and worse. And it is. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. But I'm glad God can send the early and the latter rain. I'm glad God can still send showers in a time of a dry and thirsty land. Amen. I'm glad God can still answer prayer and turn things around. Amen. It might be too late if it's in the hands of man, but it's not too late if it's in the hands of God. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. As that concludes another week of radio broadcasting, we do hope you have a great weekend. I hope you'll be in the house of God on the Lord's Day. And I'd love to take this opportunity to invite you to come and be with us here at the Island Ford Baptist Church, located at 1415 Island Ford Road here in Madisonville, Kentucky. Our Sunday morning service, Sunday school starts up at 10:15 a.m. and then the preaching time at 11:05 a.m. as well. Sunday evening service is at 6:30 p.m. Love to have you come and be part of those with us. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.